We will be reading this evening a text from the Bhagavad Gita. It's 8th chapter, text number 8, and it has a totally fascinating dimension. Please quickly repeat after me the Sanskrit, and I will then go into the English translation. Abhyasa,
Abhyasa
Yoga,
Yoga
Yuktena Shetasa Nanya Gaminaha Paramang Purushang Divyang Jati Patanu Chintayam. Translation. He who meditates on me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path, he, O Partha, is sure to reach me. Purport. In this verse, Lord Krishna stresses the importance of remembering him. One's memory of Krishna is revived by chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna. By this practice of chanting and hearing the sound vibration of the Supreme Lord, one's ear, tongue and mind are engaged. This mystic meditation is very easy to practice, and it helps one attain the Supreme Lord. Purusham means enjoyer. Although living entities belong to the material energy of the Supreme Lord, they are Although living entities belong to the marginal energy of the Supreme Lord, they are in material contamination. We discussed what it means that the living entities are the marginal energy of the Lord. We gave this example that marginal means a borderline existence, a borderline which helps us to, you know, from where we can either go into the material world, then we are materially conditioned or materially contaminated or influenced, if you so want, or we can go from the borderline into the spiritual energy. Now, we are in material contamination. They think, these living entities, they are themselves the enjoyer. But they are not the supreme enjoyer. Here it is clearly stated that the supreme enjoyer is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his different manifestations and plenary expansions as Narayan, Vasudeva, etc. The devotee can constantly think of the object of worship, the Supreme, in any of his features, Narayan, Krishna, Rama, etc., by chanting Hare Krishna. This practice will purify him, and at the end of his life, due to his constant chanting, he will be transferred to the kingdom of God. Yoga practice is meditation on the super soul within. Similarly, by chanting Hare Krishna, one fixes his mind always on the Supreme Lord. The mind is so fickle, and therefore it is necessary to engage the mind by force to think of Krishna. One example often given is that of the caterpillar that thinks of becoming a butterfly. And so it is transformed into a butterfly in the same life. Similarly, if we constantly think of Krishna, it is certain that at the end of our lives, we shall have the same bodily constitution as Krishna. Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyare Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Nita Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. May I ask, is here someone who has access to the temple library? You have. Would you be so kind to bring me the 7th canto? It has to have the first chapter in it. So it's maybe 7-1, huh? I want to say, because I have today so many young listeners in my audience, like you, you might find my explanations a little philosophical, but I will try to tell a fascinating story. And in case this still is a little boring for you, we will have a slideshow towards the end of the presentation. So if you feel restless, you might like to run around and then come to the lecture, okay, to the slideshow. Okay? We were also children. We can understand these things. So in this verse, my dear devotees, the essence of Krishna consciousness practice is described. Let us therefore hear it patiently again. Abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasa nanyagamina paramang purushang divyang jati patanu chintayan. Translation: he who meditates on me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path, he or Partha is sure to reach me. The essential point in our practice of Krishna consciousness is described here. I will like to give an English word for this. It is absorption. Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Absorption is a very, very necessary factor of our spiritual life. Only someone who is absorbed will think of Krishna at the end of his life. When I was a little child, my father came one day very, very disturbed at home. We were sitting, three boys, my mother and my father, for the evening lunch. Evening, what is it called? Dinner. Yes, dinner. We were sitting together, and I still remember how my father said, I have to tell you something. Today, there was an accident in the railway. So we children all went, tell us, father, tell us. I don't know if mother will allow me to tell you this, but I have to tell you, my mother was saying. But they are young, don't tell them. My father said, I will tell them. And then he told what had happened. It will be difficult for me to express it in proper English, but if you are very attentive, you will understand something which you have maybe not known before. My father was the director of the German railway, and he told us that they had parked one of the wagons in this huge train station on the side. This wagon had become, dysfunctional. It was a cooling wagon to transport bananas or sabjis. Sabjis means vegetables and so on, and keep the vegetables cool. The brahmacharis got a whole bunch of spinach donated. It was in a cool cooling truck, but in the train there are these cooling wagons. So this had somehow, there was a disturbance in the wagon, and it didn't function any longer. It was not cooling. The cooling aggregate did not work any longer. So they had sent a technician inside the wagon to repair the cooling system. As he was in the wagon, another worker who was working outside had unintentionally, or I want to say, because he was not conscious that a technician worked inside the wagon, he had closed this huge wagon door. It was closed. Now the technician knew, if I'm in a cooling wagon for 6 hours, I will die. It's too cool for the human circulation. And he was there, and he fought with life. And when after 8 hours they checked into the wagon if everything was all right and opened it, they found out that this technician was lying there on the floor with all the symptoms which someone has when he dies of too much cold. Freezing, he was freezing. But what they also found out, and here it becomes scary, that the cooling aggregate was not on. In other words, in the wagon, there was a very pleasant room temperature. Much more pleasant than this temperature, which is a little cool. No, there it was, ideal room temperature. There was also a very ideal air condition. You know, the air was blowing freely. It was an ideal climate to spend an afternoon. But then why was the man dead? And why, this is a question now, did he have all the symptoms of someone who had died due to freezing to death? Here is Usha and her husband. You are doctors. What is your explanation? You are also a doctor, or also a doctor? How could a man freeze to death in a very pleasant room with nice room temperature and good fresh air? This is a medical miracle. Would you like to hear the solution? It was because he was thinking that it was cold, and he was killed not by the temperature, he was killed by his mind. Hare Krishna. Do you understand? In medical terms, this is called psychosomatic death. He was thinking like this. And because he had it so strongly in his mind, then he actually, the mind triggered off a physical response, and as a result, he actually died. My dear devotees, my dear friends, and my dear skeptics, we may all laugh about such a story, but this story is our own story. We are thinking we are separated from Krishna. We are thinking we have problems, many problems. Oh, so many problems. Open the newspaper of New York and see for yourself. But these are all mental creations, imaginations. They are not true. All of us are eternal parts of Lord Krishna, Sat, Chit, and Ananda. But our mind is just sometimes acting so strongly in our own disinterest. Our Chiman can tell us about this. And we become depressed and sad and upset and finished and more finished and still more finished because of our mind, which is, how to say, the cause of all these things. It's just mental concoction. Therefore, Lord Krishna, talking about the mind, he says in the Gita, I think you all must know this in some ways, but I think you would maybe like to hear it again. He says, the mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. If this wouldn't be a sacred temple room, I would all lead you to a confrontation with your own mind, where you can ask your mind the question, do you want to be my friend? And you will hear how your mind will talk to you. I will do this another time when we are in another room. You will hear your mind giving you an answer to this question. Krishna continues, for him who has conquered the mind is the best of friends. But for one who has failed to do so, his mind will remain the greatest enemy. You know everything. Then Lord Krishna tells us that if someone has just conquered the mind, that means has made the mind the friend, huh? Then he will actually see him that in his heart. If you have conquered your dear, your mind, Johannes, you will see God in your heart. Hare Krishna, would you like to hear this verse? Because you might not believe me. For one who has conquered the mind, Krishna says, the super soul, no? Super soul means God, is already reached, for he has attained tranquility. He actually is in contact with the Lord if he has conquered the mind and made the mind his friend. This is Hare Krishna, Prabhupada Prabhu. This is you. Wonderful. So this is really the secret of Krishna consciousness. You have to make your mind your friend. Otherwise, you will live in a mental creation of yourself, which most probably, because you are in Kali Yuga, will get out of your hands, and you will feel how your mind all of a sudden becomes restless, attracted to matter, and leave the path of Krishna consciousness. In India, they have these kerosene lamps. And when the wick of the kerosene lamp is not situated properly, it will create smoke and eventually blacken the glass of the, which is there in the kerosene lamp, which is around the flame, protected against wind. So much the same thing does happen when the mind is becoming disturbed by the material world. Then it will slightly get out of its proper position of being fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna, and the mind will make the whole expression of a person dark. If you do not mind, can I speak very openly this evening, or should I not talk? Many people here in the crowd have dark faces. I don't mean the suntanned faces or the faces by black pigments, you know, Indian bodies and so on. I don't mean that. I mean, if you look in the eyes of many, many people nowadays, also devotees, you can see that their mind is slightly out of the proper position. It doesn't think of Krishna so much. And as a result, just like a wick which is out of the position, black, you will have to help me, sooth, is it called?
Soot.
Soot is created, and you can see it in the eyes. It is worries, it is a feeling of fear maybe, or a feeling of maybe disturbed relationships, where you think in a disturbed way about someone, and this creates a certain flickering in the eyes. We did learn this. You can look in the pupilla of the eye, and there's a certain flickering there in someone who has a disturbed mind. You can see it actually by iris diagnosis. You can look with, it's like a microphone into a person's eyes, and when it flickers, his mind is a little disturbed, and now this disturbed position of the mind will take care that there's some soot or some flickering in the eyes. Because I live, I was preaching to a doctor, I can see this when I look into some person's eye. It's very easy to see. You need to be trained a little medically in this art. My dear devotees and my dear friends and my dear people who come for the first time to, or the second time to a lecture like this, it's so absolutely important in spiritual life to focus the mind in the proper way so that the truth or suit of lust, anger, illusion and so on is not there. If we do not take care of this and our mind is not properly situated, the result will be physical illness and a dysfunctional behavior which will disturb our spiritual life. So, Lord Krishna, in our deepest interest, talks in the Gita about the remedy. And the remedy is to absorb the mind in Him. And once our mind is in contact with Lord Krishna, by either hearing about Him, glorifying His holy name, or by lovingly serving Him, the mind becomes very stable and very strong, and nothing in the world, not even death, can disturb such a fixed or focused mind. It's like a wick which is in the proper position, and now it burns with a bright flame, which doesn't make this unnecessary. That's my new word today, soot. Yes, we are learning English here in America. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, Srila Jiva Goswami gives an example how the mind can become colored by constant thought of Krishna or by Krishna consciousness. He gives the example of the crystal bowl, where you put fruits maybe like a blue plum, a yellow banana, a red peach inside. So as you put these objects into the crystal, is it called bowl? Bowl, yeah? Yes. The bowl will reflect these the color of the fruits, and it will be blue, yellow, and red color will appear there. Our mind is like a container. Whatever you put in this mind, it will certainly, without any question, reflect this. Nothing good has ever happened when a person meditated or thought for long about disturbing things, friends and enemy consciousness, things which are not right. You cannot become Krishna conscious by thinking about things which are not right. You have to positively put Krishna in the mind, and then the mind will take the color of Krishna. It will become blue colored mind. This is the whole secret of Krishna consciousness in one sentence. Somehow or other, says the Bhagavatam, one must consider the form of Krishna very seriously. Then, by one of the five different processes mentioned above, these are devotional processes, one can return home back to Godhead. Atheists, like King Vena, however, being unable to think of Krishna's form in any of these ways, cannot attain salvation. Therefore, one must somehow think of Krishna. This is very, very important. An example is given to us in the purport here. One example often given is that of the caterpillar that thinks of becoming a butterfly and so is transformed into a butterfly in the same life. When you actually learn to put Lord Krishna in the bowl of your mind, if you learn to think of Lord Krishna positively, it will have immediate effects on your bhava and bhava. What is bhava? Bhava with a long A means of your internal mood, and bhava with a short A means your existence in this world. By what you think in your mind, your whole life can be described. The example of the caterpillar is very, very good. I will now tell you the story of the caterpillar. I have decided, because my youngest audience is still with me, and you deserve to understand something this evening. Once there were two caterpillars. One was called Reddy and the other Greeny. So, Reddy and Greeny, the two caterpillars, were living from the leaves, the dry leaves on the ground. When one day Reddy said, "Krishna, I feel an urge in me to climb higher and higher and higher. I feel if I go higher in my life, I will be able to eat something much more delicious than dried leaves." Shishi Radha Govinda ki jai. It will be much, much, much nicer. Now there was a rumor in the country that there was a long, long pillar, not as long as this, but much longer, miles long. And if caterpillars would climb this pillar, they would reach this paradise. So Reddy heard about this rumor and said to Greeny, "Let's go to the pillar and climb it for a better life." And they started to climb with 500,000 other caterpillars up the pillar. Now, as they were climbing for 1 month, it was a high pillar, as I said, or it was actually after 3.5 weeks, I'm sorry. They started to notice that everyone wanted to rush to the top, and they used their legs and they pushed each other down, and there was a scrambling and screaming and ouch and everything. So that finally Greeny understood, I can't believe that I reach paradise by trampling on other people's faces. I don't believe that we will come to paradise like this. And he said, Reddy, I'm ready to leave. I go now down. And he, if you want, you can come along. And Greeny went down to the ground. He again lived from leaves. Until one day, he heard someone shouting at him, Hey! 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 He looked around and he saw on a bush a caterpillar like him, surrounded with a whitish type of substance. First it looked like a blanket, but then on closer investigation it had like one thread. And Greeny asked, what are you doing? I'm going in the cocoon. I will stay in the cocoon for about 1.5 months, and then I will go up into the sky, in the paradisical sky. I will fly as a butterfly. Greeny was shocked. You mean by this process you will go up and life will be better? Yes. It's a natural process for us caterpillars to fly in the sky, to drink from the flowers, to enjoy with the breezes of spring. Greeny said, I can't believe. Then watch me, said this. And he closed the thing, and Greeny came by every day. One day, he saw, actually, that the caterpillar, that the cocoon was opened. It looked like a ripped piece of paper. But he didn't see anyone else. Only he heard again the sound, Hey! Hey! And he looked around, and as he looked around, he saw a beautiful butterfly. Yes, yes, said the butterfly. It's me, the caterpillar who transformed into a butterfly. You can also do it. When you feel the natural urge and something comes and your wish is strong enough, you will see that a little rope comes out of your body, and just wrap yourself in the rope, stay for some time, and then fly with the breezes and drink the juice of the flowers. Goodbye, Mr. Caterpillar. Now meanwhile, Reddy. You remember Reddy? Boys, you remember, good. Was continuing to climb on the pillar. He was now as high as the cloud. And now it gets dramatic. He actually heard that there was a frightened sound of screaming. Oh no, it's all a lie. We heard if we climb up here, we will come to paradise. But no, it's not paradise. The other caterpillars who come up pushing us will push us down and we will fall down. At this moment, Reddy heard the sound. Oh! Pitch. Yes, I have a young audience. I must tell it dramatically. And he heard many such sounds. And then he was pushed up further, and he saw that the end of the pillar had been reached, and caterpillar after caterpillar was pushed down and was pushed up and then falling down. Pitch, pitch, pitch. Oh, said Reddy, it was all a lie. If I was climbing, when I'm climbing up like this, as I was climbing up, now I have to die. In this moment, Reddy heard a voice. Hey, Reddy. And he looked, and there was a beautiful being which looked like an angel. Yes, who are you? Said Reddy. I'm Greenie. What? Yes, look into my eyes and you will recognize me. The poor caterpillar who was about to die, who was about to fall, looked into the eyes of the blood butterfly and he could recognize, yes, this is my old friend who had gone to the transformation. And as he looked, his friend said, trust me, I will bring you to the ground and I will teach you how to go to paradise. Reddy said, I have nothing to lose, please take me. Greenie took him and then flew down and instructed him how to become a butterfly. My dear devotees, yes, I have told the story for our youngest audience that they also would understand something from the lecture. But we are all like this. It's a very intellectual point which is made here. We all believe we can come to paradise by climbing the ladder of achieving higher positions. We are very, very interested to take external positions in our lives. First initiated and second initiated, then sannyasi, then guru, and the final position is GBC. No. But to become Krishna conscious, we need to actually have an inner transformation. And this transformation of the heart will only happen if we learn the secret art of absorption. Maybe the door opens to the inside. Hare Krishna. So this is what I wanted to tell and maybe teach you today, that the art of becoming Krishna consciousness means to learn the art of transformation, which is always the art of absorption. Our mind, if we do not learn to absorb it in Krishna, will just always lead us and bring us to different stations. One of you, I observed my audience today with an investigating eye. I saw one of you running in and out the temple room every 2 minutes. 5 times I observed it. I will not tell any name because that is highly embarrassing for the person. I could see the mind was moving this person in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. And there was no possibility to understand the lecture because the mind was so much vibrating with this heavy tamasic and rajasic New York energy. that is very difficult to to really come into to a spiritual life. So, my dear devotees and dear friends, please learn to absorb the mind in Krishna. If you do not learn this art, then your mind will absorb you into Maya. Prabhupada said something about this essential point. He said, to apply the mind always in Krishna, that means he is a devotee. Devotee means not with four hands or four legs. No. Hand and legs are the same. In other words, there is no external change. But his mode of thinking, that is different. Devotee does not depend on the country, color, or religion, or circumstance. Devotee means the mind. Anyone who is always thinking of Krishna, he is a devotee. That is the first qualification of a devotee. Manmana bhava mat bhakto. Therefore we have to practice. Now, how to become absorbed is expressed in this very, very nice verse of the Bhagavad Gita, which is something like a rule by which to live. This verse appears two times in the Bhagavad Gita. The first time it appears is right in the middle of the Bhagavad Gita. You know the Bhagavad Gita has 18 chapters. In the middle of the Bhagavad Gita is 18 chapter and how many verses? 70 something, huh? Who knows? 72. 70, I also said, seven. It's actually 78, huh? So, the middle of this is the 9th chapter, verse 34. You know, the 9th chapter only has 34 verses. And in this middle, the whole point of the Gita is given. You must know, whatever is appearing in the middle of a sacred scripture, that's the essence. It's protected from the left and from the right. Would you like to know what is this middle chapter, middle verse? No?
Yes.
Okay. You were not so enthusiastic, so I'm... Now you are telling because I'm inciting you. But when I first make my test, you didn't react. So I will say something else about this verse because to make you more interested. It is said that this verse is actually the key to Krishna's heart. I mean, I think this everyone wants to know, even the yes. I mean, this is... Okay, I'm not really sure, because with loud voices you can trick a person. But I will nevertheless, although you were a little not really showing your enthusiasm, I will nevertheless say it. It is saying, here is the mind practice. Take this home, my dear devotees, and practice it, and you will see your life will change. Manmana bhava mat bhakto majjaji mang namaskuru mame vaishyasi yuktvaivam atmanang matparayanah. Engage your mind always in thinking of me, Now, how to do this? It is now explained. Become my devotee. Offer obeisances to me and worship me. Do you know what makes an imitation devotee into a real devotee? Do you know what is the difference between a shadow devotee, someone who looks externally like a devotee, but who may not yet have enough devotional substance? Do you know what makes him into this? It's one little thing: absorption. The external devotee looks outside, he has a right haircut, he has the right dress, he has Kunti Mala and maybe some titles to his name. He is not yet the right devotee as long as he is not absorbed, if he is not inside. I would like to ask you a question on this. Is this seat full or is it empty? But please, you have to think about it, because it is this seat on which I'm sitting, is it full or is it empty? Half empty. Full. I would say it depends. If my heart is full, it is full because I'm sitting here. No second person can sit on it. It is full. But if my heart is empty, it's an empty seat. What is the use of a person who has an empty heart and occupying some space in time? It's not useful for no one. So if your life is full or if it is empty is a question of the heart, a question of the mind. That's a very important subject matter. Don't forget, devotee means the mind. So if you want to become a devotee, you should offer service. And while you offer service, you must think of Krishna. Not like the servant of a king who is next to the king and who fans the king, but who thinks, this guy, I hope I'm soon at home and eat some spaghettis. When you do devotional service, it's so important, my dear devotees, to not do it like a servant of the king who is really not there with his mind. You must learn this art to do service and think of Krishna. There are so many people, who could go through the external motions, but who have no emotion in their heart. No, the mind is not fixed. And Krishna is not really interested in this. Yes, so if you want to become older in your spiritual life, we need to learn the shloka. Engage your mind always in thinking of me, become my devotee, offer obeisances to me, and worship me. Have you thought today of Krishna? Have you acted as his devotee? That means given him something. Have you offered your obeisances to Krishna and worshipped him? If not, then you should learn. I want to give you a tip. Why not write on a piece of paper these 4 points, post it on the inside of the door, and before you run into or move into the ocean called New York, you just view this piece of paper, put it into your mind, and then live your life like this. Your whole life will change. 100%. I never met any person who adopted this verse as a guiding rule in his life who had not become a happy butterfly. This thinking in these terms or acting upon this verse will make the transformation of a heart, of the heart, not a theoretical concept, but a practical reality. You can find this verse in the 9th chapter, verse 34, and you find the same verse again in the 18th chapter, verse number 65, as far as I know. I will look this up for you. Yes, 65. Please make this into a guideline by which you live your future life from tomorrow onwards, and then you will be able to enter the culture. You will be actually becoming a member of the Hare Krishna movement. Yes. Yes, yes. Prabhupada writes about this project, becoming actually a devotee. The Lord says, take to my devotional service and come quickly back to Godhead, back home. Then Prabhupada says, no one should remain in this temporary world full as it is with miseries. Everyone should attach himself to the bosom of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that he can be eternally happy. The devotional service of the Supreme Lord is the only process by which all problems of all classes of men can be solved. Everyone should therefore take to Krishna consciousness and make his life perfect. Huh? We should attach ourselves to the bosom of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Very amazing statements. Very nice how Prabhupada expresses this. You can also practice something which was explained in the Festival of Inspiration at the end. A very simple process to absorb your mind and change your mind is to hear regularly spiritual instructions. It's called Shravana. Then to do Manaha. Manaha means to reflect deeply upon what you have heard. Then the next step or third step is Nididhyasana. It means to contemplate or to apply what you have heard. And the fourth step is to pray to Krishna for strength so that you can actually apply what you have heard. See, many of us devotees have heard enough spiritual knowledge to go back home, back to Godhead. But also many of us have not yet applied what we have heard, and therefore we have not actually been able to experience the transformation of the heart, the transformation of the caterpillar into a butterfly. So I wish to, it was my sincere desire that we have inspired you to absorb yourself a little bit in this, and in this way become happy. Please forgive me if I have talked a little urgently. I really feel it is high time that each one of us confronts himself with these subject matters and does something to become more absorbed. We do not just want to remain on a level we want to, where we are presently on. We want to progress in our lives. If in my struggles to find the right English words and to find a pathway to your hearts, I have talked a little bit too intensely, please do forgive me. My desire really is to help you and to move you. and make you conscious of this. All right, we have now
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Here comes the servant of the Lord. This is a highly impressive gate. Wow. Thank you for your wonderful service. Haribo. So let me now look secretly at the wristwatch. Oh, it's already 9:05. What do you honestly think? I wanted to show you a few slides of Vrindavan Dham. Oh, you're so loud. So I think we should do this because this will help us to absorb ourselves. Yesterday we didn't show it. We waited for you to come today. Yes. So, those of you who have to go, you may leave, but please do not leave the temple room without one word, absorption. Think about this and how you can make this, and please read in your own private reading time for tips in the 9th chapter, verse 34, so that you can actually make your life successful. Hari Bol, Hari Kirtan, thank you for giving us pleasure. And please, you have to go. You may leave. But Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Bol.